Will you pray for me as I share God's word to you? Today is the commissioning service for our deacons. My voice is the way it is today, okay? It sounds like Bonnie Tyler. So I guess most of you don't know who Bonnie Tyler is. My voice is the way it is today because last night I shouted at my kids, okay? I shouted at my children. And as if this is a reminder from God. So pray for me. I really felt last night that I'm in no condition to bring God's word to you all, but God is merciful. So pray for me. Pray that God will transcend all my weaknesses, all my fears, and the struggles that I'm feeling inside of me, that I will be able to just bring the word of God to you this morning. So please pray for me. Father, I want to thank you that you are faithful. You have been leading this church despite our disobedience, despite our shortcomings. Oh Lord, you have led us, and we are just so grateful and thankful for your faithfulness to us. We know, oh Lord, that you're working out your plans for your people here. That God, that you are helping us to become that city on a hill, to be that powerful witness, to be that life-changing, transforming influence where you have placed us. Lord, I especially pray for the deacons this morning as they will be commissioned. I pray, O God, that you will just speak to them. I pray that you will just give them strength and courage and this assurance, O Lord, that you are with them. O Lord, and as they humbly surrender their lives to you in service, that you will use them in ways they cannot even imagine. Lord, I pray that as we listen to your word, that your word will speak to us, will impact our hearts, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are going to be commissioning six deacons, two deaconesses. I've been in this church since 1978. I came to this church as a 14-year-old boy. And I don't ever remember this church having deacons. Mr. Chan, right? Yeah, we've never had deacons. And as I was preparing this message, I felt God saying to me, this is like laying down a spiritual marker. You know, when the people of Israel crossed the Jordan into the promised land, the first thing they did after crossing the Jordan River was this, the setting up of 12 memorial stones. And God instructing the tribe leaders to do this so that the future generation of Israelites will remember what God had done. We remember that it was the Lord who brought them across the River Jordan into the promised land. And so today we are laying down a spiritual marker. We are laying down an important milestone to remind us that God has been directing the affairs of this church. So that in future when we look back, we can have this assurance that it was God who has been leading us. So today we want to affirm as the church family, we want to commission six men and women. They are of noble character. They are godly men and women, faithful and able. And today as the church family, we want to be grateful to God for the gift of these six men. So what's going to happen today is I'm going to talk first about how deacons came to be, and some of the responsibilities of deacons, and I'm going to charge the deacons. We're going to commission them and pray for them. And after presenting the deacons to the church family, I'm going to charge you, the church family, okay? All right. In the early church, Scripture reveals that in the early church, there are two designated leaders, elders and deacons. In 2013, the church called five elders. Eventually, Kenny stepped down. So there are four of us. But God provided elders and deacons to provide leadership to His people in the early church. And we believe that this is the model of leadership. This is the biblical model of leadership. And who are elders? What are elders called to do? Elders, we are told in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, that elders are called and gifted by God to keep watch over the souls of the people entrusted to them. So the primary calling of elders is to keep watch. It's this role of being an overseer. It is also to shepherd God's people. It is to keep watch, to nurture, to feed God's people, so that God's people will grow and mature spiritually. Now the task of keeping watch over the souls of God's people and shepherding God's people is a huge task. It's a great responsibility. You know, those of you who are married, okay, you would have your wedding photographs, right? Okay, so similarly, you know, we had our wedding photos. You know, we had one that's very big, and when we moved into our apartment, I decided not to put it in the master bedroom. I don't know why, but I didn't want it in the master bedroom. I put it in the study, right? It was in the study, okay? And then when we did some renovation, my wife said, it belongs in the master bedroom, okay? So it's there, hanging there. And one day, she said to me, look how much you have aged, you know? Look at your hair, you know? So I had to tell her, you know, it's because of the wonder of technology. That was photoshopped, okay? And after the last sermon I preached here, my brother told me, wow, you know, when I was sitting there and looking at you, you know, you have aged, you know, wow, what a word to use. I would have preferred you have matured, you know, like good wine, you know, but he said you have aged, you know, there's this glow, you know, there's this glow on your head, you know, and he was referring to my white hair, graying hair. But it's a heavy responsibility. It requires full attention. It requires the best of energies, all right? And how many of you here are plate spinners? Sometimes I felt like that, you know, this trying to keep all the plates spinning and ensuring that none of the plates drop to the ground and gets broken in the process. We are supposed as elders to keep watch over the souls of the flock, to shepherd the people. But the reality is this, okay? The church family has many, many needs. Many, many practical needs, and they are legitimate needs. Okay? And so what happens sometimes, what happens a lot of time is it leads to a situation that is quite unfortunate. Okay? It leads to frustration and burnout because all these needs, somehow, all right, the church people have this expectation, the leaders are supposed to meet these needs. Is that true? Not true? Okay, wow. Not true, are you sure? You don't have that expectation, okay? So, Paul, they don't have the expectation. And so this could possibly lead to a very unfortunate situation. A situation where there's frustration among the members because, you know, they have their needs and some of these needs are unmet. And some needs are met, but not up to expectation. So that's frustration. Okay? Or they are too busy, you know. They have other things, they have other matters to attend to. And so there's this frustration, you know. My needs are not being met. And then on the part of the leaders, there's also frustration. We're also frustrated. Okay, I can think of so many people that I should have visited, but I have not visited. You know, I can think of so many people that I should have been praying for, but I have not prayed for. So I also get frustrated. The leaders get frustrated. And very often it leads to burnout. I have a favorite phrase. Guess what the favorite phrase is? I am tired. I am tired. So you have this situation where needs are unmet. The church family feels frustrated. You know, I have needs. They're not being met. They're not being addressed. And then the leaders feel frustrated because, you know, they have just this much bandwidth. They cannot possibly meet all these needs. And so, very often when needs are brought to the attention of the leaders, of the elders, okay, when these needs are being addressed, the primary calling of prayer, studying the Word of God, teaching God's people, watching over the spiritual health of God's people, very often that is neglected. And this leads, consequently, this leads to really an unhealthy situation where the health, the vitality of the body of Christ is compromised. This is not a new problem, okay? This problem was present in the early church. And so we look in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. We see this problem of needs not being met. We see this problem of frustration among the people whose needs were not being met. And in Acts chapter 6, the solution was given. The solution was simply this, to delegate the responsibility of meeting these needs to another group of people, not to the apostles, so that the apostles will be free to focus on prayer and to provide spiritual leadership to God's people. So in Acts chapter 6, it's moving back now. Okay. Although Acts chapter 6 does not specifically say appointment of deacons, okay, but many Bible teachers believe that that passage there refers the leaders who were appointed to look into meeting the needs of God's people at that time, they became the prototype for deacons. And so in the origin of deacons, we look at Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So there was a problem in the distribution of food. At first glance, it would seem to be a minor problem. But before that, you know, in the early church, widows who did not have families to support them, they were placed under the care of the church. Okay? Widows who did not have family support, they were placed under the care of the church. So the church undertook the responsibility for providing for these people, for this group of people. But what happened in Acts chapter 6 verse 1 was this. A complaint arose because one group felt that they were being neglected. Okay, it was, you know, at first glance, this would seem to be a small problem easily solved. But if you look deeper, okay, it was a complaint that was raised by Grecian Jews. The Grecian Jews, and who are the Grecian Jews? They were Greek-speaking Jews. Jews, but they speak Greek. They don't speak Hebrew. They were also known as the Hellenists. And this group of people, the Grecian Jews, have a long-standing problem with the Hebraic-speaking Jews. Problem. Just like the majority race and the pendatang race, okay? Dissension. You know, that's this problem, this tension. And so when this situation arose, when this group felt, you know, our needs are not being met, but that group, their needs are being met. Problem of dissension. The problem of disunity. You know, this minor problem, if not attended to, if not looked into, would explode. And so, what did the apostles do? It's going back again. Verse 2, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So the apostles said, you know, this problem is real. But it would not be right for us to be directly involved in solving this problem. They recognized that this problem constituted a serious threat to unity. They knew that. But they also knew of another danger. The danger of neglecting prayer and the ministry of God's word. And so in addressing the issue, they made a number of decisions. First, they decided they should not be the ones to manage this problem. They should not be the ones to manage this problem. And the reason they gave was this. It would not be right. It would not be right. And the word right in Greek is arestos, which means desirable. Pleasing, that which is pleasing to the Lord. So when they said it would not be right, they were in fact saying it would not be pleasing to the Lord. And that would leave us scratching our heads. What do you mean it would not be pleasing to the Lord for the needs of these widows to be met? Now it's important for us to know what the apostles were trying to say, what they were trying to communicate. They were not saying that it would not be pleasing to the Lord for them to wait on tables. That was not what they were saying. They were saying that it would not be pleasing to God for them to neglect the ministry of the word. Do you get that? Let me repeat, huh? They were not saying it would not be pleasing to the Lord for them to wait on tables. What they were saying was this. It would not be pleasing to God for them to neglect the ministry of the word. So it was not a pride thing. They were not saying that it would be too humiliating for them. It would be under them to undertake this menial task of serving widows. Because Jesus had taught them and Jesus had taught them well. Jesus had told them that to be a leader in his kingdom is to be a servant. To be a leader in God's kingdom is to serve, not to lord over others. Leadership in God's kingdom is servant leadership. And Jesus demonstrated servant leadership by washing the feet of his disciples. So it's important for us to understand that it's a matter of calling and gifting. The elders, the apostles, were called to the ministry of God's word. They were called to prayer. They were not called to this ministry of distributing food to the widows. And because they knew their calling, they understood their calling, they wanted to be faithful to that calling. And they did not want, but at the same time, they did not want to neglect the ministry of serving the widows. And so they came up with this solution. Verse 3, we read, "Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." So the solution is delegation. Delegate the task to other individuals in the body of Christ. But they were quite particular, not just anyone. Okay? Not just anyone. Not Chun, not Raymond, not Elvin, not Jeremy. Okay? Not these people. They wanted people who had biblical qualities, who had spiritual qualities. They didn't want anyone who was willing to serve. They wanted men who had wisdom, men who were spirit-filled. And this teaches us something very important. When we call leaders, when we call people into position of leadership, these people must have the right qualities. Jesus said, look at the heart. Always look at the heart. The 7 men who were selected to be servants had qualities in the heart. They were full of wisdom. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now note here that the 7 men who were selected, they were not called deacons. They were simply called servants. But Bible teachers believe that the 7 who were called, they became the prototype of the New Testament deacons. So with the appointment of the 7, the needs of the widows were met. The crisis that threatened unity in the church was averted. And the apostles were able to give their full attention to their primary responsibility. And so we are told that this happened. It's missing. Okay, let me read. We're told that, verse 7, "So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." Because the apostles were faithful to their calling, because the apostles delegated the 7 to this task of meeting the needs of the widows, what happened was growth. When the body of Christ was functioning as it should, there was growth. And so, deacons, I like to think of deacons as not just servants, but lead servants, ministers of mercy. Now, it's important for us to know that deacons are not the spiritual leaders of the church. Okay? Which means this, they are not responsible for teaching or leading the congregation. Although Paul and Seng Hock, okay, they also share the responsibility of teaching in this church as well. But deacons really, they provide leadership over the service-oriented functions in the church. Although the Bible does not clearly indicate what these functions are. But Ben Merkel, some of you may know Ben Merkel, he wrote this book on elders and deacons. Ben Merkel suggests this. It is best to view deacons as servants who do whatever is necessary to allow the elders to accomplish their God-given calling of shepherding and teaching the church. So deacons are servants who do whatever is necessary to free the elders to focus on shepherding and leading the church. I want us to really get this. Although deacons do not have this spiritual responsibility of teaching and leading, deacons are not less than elders. Deacons are not less than elders. They are not lesser Christians, nor are they lesser in the eyes of God. Deacons and elders complement each other. Deacons play a crucial role in the life and the health of the church. They complement the elders with their acts of service. Quite simply, deacons are indispensable. You cannot do without deacons. If you want to see spiritual growth, spiritual health, spiritual vitality in the church. And I want to remind the six of you that there are really few things more rewarding in life than receiving appreciation that is expressed by those whose needs you have met. So I'm going to talk to the deacons directly, okay? But let me tell you a story first. Story of toll of two police officers who responded to a call from their dispatcher to go to a scene of an accident. So when they arrive at the scene, they find a car that was wrecked. And they find a family, a father, a mother, and two children unconscious inside the car. They also found a monkey inside the car. And the monkey was conscious, okay? The rest of them were unconscious. So the police officers decided that they should try communicating with the monkey using hand signals to try to find out what had happened. So using hand gestures, they asked the monkey, what was the man doing? And so the monkey said this, drinking while driving, okay? And then they asked the monkey, what was the woman doing? So the man was getting an earful. I don't know whether he was drinking because he had an earful for the woman first, okay? But the woman was giving the husband an earful. And what were the children doing? And so the children mimicked this. The children were fighting at the back of the car, okay? Sounds like an apt description of my car, okay? And so the officers looked at each other and, you know, one of them said, you know, well, with all that going on, it's not surprising that the car, you know, ended up in an accident. And so they turned to walk away from the scene of the accident. But then they turned back, you know, and one of the officers asked the monkey, what were you doing? And the monkey was doing this. To the six deacons, I want to tell you that you are not monkeys, okay? God does not entrust leadership of the church to monkeys, okay? But rather to men and women who are biblically qualified. Okay? So let me read the instruction of Paul to Timothy concerning the selection of deacons. That's what he said. Deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Okay. In Paul's instruction to Timothy, Paul began with the word likewise. Before that, he was talking about elders. So So when he used the word likewise, he was implying that his instructions concerning the reputation of elders apply to deacons as well. That deacons should be worthy of respect. They should be dignified. Paul was indicating that the behavior of deacons must be above the ordinary. And because it's above the ordinary, therefore it is worthy of respect. And Paul outlined the importance of spiritual qualifications. And there are similarities with qualifications between for elders and deacons. And Paul said, a high standard is required of deacons. And this high standard must not be minimized because their primary responsibility is not teaching the Word of God. It must not be minimized. There are similarities, and let me list them out for you. Similarities in the qualifications for deacons and elders. First, not indulging in too much wine or not given to drunkenness. Paul here, I believe he was referring to having self-control. A person who has self-control. Secondly, not pursuing dishonest gain. 1 Timothy 3:3, in his instructions concerning elders, not a lover of money. And finally, the husband of one wife and one who manages his children and household well. You know, can I be honest with you? Many times I feel I should step down as an elder because I really feel I'm not managing my household very well, especially my daughter. But elders and deacons are required to be faithful to their spouse and to be able to manage their household well. And so I believe there are three areas. First area is this, the area of faith and character. Deacons are to be men worthy of respect. In the area of faith and character, I want to talk about two things. Firstly, deacons must be sound in faith and life. Paul said they must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. And this refers to the areas of belief and behavior. Deacons are required to have a firm grip, a clear understanding of the doctrines of the gospel. A firm grip, a clear understanding. And they are to hold the doctrines with a clear conscience, which means they have to pay attention to obeying them. The behavior of the deacons, therefore, must be consistent with their beliefs. If not, their conscience will speak against them and condemn them. And so Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, he said, watch your life and doctrine closely. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Secondly, it's in the area of speech. Whatever we say comes from our heart. So Paul says that deacons must be sincere, not double-tongued. I like what this commentator said. A deacon must not be slippery with his words. Deacons must be sincere in speech. So there are two possible meanings. Firstly, it means that a person who repeats what he has heard or seen to other people. Not repeating what you have heard and you have seen to other people, because that betrays confidence. Secondly, A person who tells one thing to one person and something else to another. A person who says one thing but means another. This will be extremely damaging when settling disputes and controversies. So a deacon must be consistent with his word. And all of you have been tested and have been found to be sound in faith and character. Second area, you must be proven in service. Paul specifically told Timothy, they must be first tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. So we had a meeting with the six deacons on Wednesday. So I told them this, I read them this verse, that deacons must prove themselves to be blameless. Now what that means, blameless doesn't mean that they are without sin. Okay? Alright? It means that really there is nothing in their life that you can bring charge against. They are not without sin. But they are not in the habit of sinning. So they must prove themselves to be blameless in three areas. Morally, spiritually, and in the area of doctrine. This also means that they must have a proven service record in church. They have demonstrated the ability to serve people in a responsible manner. And they have demonstrated this ability to relate to people in a way that is exemplary. More than the elders, the deacons work a lot with people. And so Paul told Timothy, you need to actually examine these people. Watch them over a span of time. Because he said in 1 Timothy 3:6 and 5:24, the sins of some are not immediately apparent. Okay? And all the six deacons that we are commissioning today have a proven record in serving the church. And finally, in the area of family. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect. Not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and household well. So, to the spouse of the deacons, your character is important to the success of your husband's ministry. Like your husband or like your wife, you must be respected, self-controlled, and faithful. But unlike your spouse, you will not need to be tested, okay? All right? But you will have to prove yourself to be respected, self-controlled, and faithful. And the charge to all the six of you is this. You have proven yourself in the area of faith and character, in the area of service, in the way you have managed your family and household. And I charge you to continue to be faithful, to be diligent in these areas. Let me read to you what Paul said in his letter to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12, he said this, he gave this warning, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. So grow and mature in your faith and in Christ-likeness. Pay attention to your devotional life. Serve excellently, out of love, out of pure motives. Do not neglect your family. And I cannot overemphasize this, do not neglect your family. But love and lead your family in a way that glorifies God. You know, usually the first casualty when you are so involved in service is your personal devotion. Usually that's the first casualty. We don't pay attention to our spiritual life, to our relationship with God. And I'm speaking for myself. Second casualty is family. You do not have time for family. You know, I've been I've been quite affected when I, you know, when I hear my children saying things like, "Ma, where are you going? Another meeting. You're going to church." It's as if they are telling me, you know, you are reserving your best time for the church and not for me. So do not neglect your family, but love and lead your family. So I'm going to invite the deacons to come and just come to the front. Please occupy the 6 seats. They are anointed seats. Chun came early in the morning to lay hands and pray for the seats. So please, I invite you to come to the front. Let me read to you the words of Jesus. First in Mark chapter 10, Jesus called them together, he called his disciples together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." In John chapter 13, these are the words of your master. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. For that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I want you to watch a video clip now. And I pray that these words, the words of this song, will just touch you in a powerful way.
In any ordinary place,
Thank my wife for putting this together. And so I thought about what can best represent servant leadership. I thought of the basin and the towel. I thought of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. The call to service in the kingdom of God is not glamorous. The call to service in the kingdom of God means that you serve people in a way unseen and sometimes unappreciated. But God the Father sees, and God the Father appreciates everything done in love for His people. So I'm going to call six of you to please come to the front, you know, and stand here and just face the congregation, your church family. And I'm going to call six people. They represent, I believe, a cross-section of our church family. Your ministry is to the body of Christ. Nobody is, everyone is included. So I'm going to first ask Ashley. Ashley, where are you? Ashley Cho. She represents the children and the youth. You just stand in front of Uncle Paul. Not so far away, I'll stand near. Then I'm going to call Rachel Spoolman. She represents the young adults. Ching Hock. Oh, Edward. Sorry, Edward. Sorry. Edward represents parents with young children. Mr. Chan to represent the senior people in our church family. Stella represent foreigners in our midst who have left home to come and work in Malaysia to be a blessing to Malaysians. Finally, my brother Doug, to represent foreigners also in our midst who have come to be a blessing through their work to the community. And so to the six deacons, please receive the basin and the towel. This is a contract that cannot be broken. We'd like you all to take this pledge before the church family. The scriptures teach that a deacon must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. So with a clear conscience, do you reaffirm your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and hold to His gospel as it is defined in our confession of faith? You have been called to the office of deacon because you have proven yourself to be blameless, reputable, and full of the Spirit and of wisdom. By God's grace, will you continue to walk in a manner that is worthy of the gospel? Deacons are qualified to be servant leaders in God's church insofar as they demonstrate they are servant leaders in their home. Therefore, will you continue to be faithful to your spouse and lead your home in a manner that displays the gospel and glory of Christ? Deacons are charged with the responsibility of caring for the physical and practical concerns of the church so that the elders are free to focus on shepherding and teaching the church. Will you serve your elders and your church in this way? Brethren, we have an enemy that seeks to divide the church because the glory of Christ is displayed in unity. Will you use your office to build unity and protect against division in this body? Will you now accept the office of deacon out of a love for God, a desire to serve this church, and a commitment to promote the gospel and the glory of Christ? Let's pray for them, okay, as we commission them. Will you all rise with me as we pray for them? Father, I thank you for Paul, for Suhin, Kinon, Seng Hock, Claudia and Christine. Father, I want to thank you. We recognize that they are gifts to this body of Christ. We thank you, O Lord, for the work you have done in their lives. We thank you for their godly character. We thank you that you have filled them with spirit of wisdom. We thank you that you have given them a love for you and a love for your people. I pray that as they step up in faith, you will give them strength and courage. You will give them wisdom. I pray you will give them restedness as well, that they will learn from Jesus, so that they will only take the yoke of Jesus. For the burden of Jesus is light, and his yoke is easy. I pray that you empower them. I pray that, God, you will help them to work together as a team, that they will be united, that they will learn to love one another and honor one another. They will learn, O Lord, to just serve together effectively as a team. I pray, O God, that you will help them to pay careful attention, O Lord, to their faith and to their character at all times. I pray also, Lord, that you will help them to be sincere in all of their ways. I pray that, God, that you will grant them wisdom, that they will continue to lead and love their family, that they will never neglect their family. And so, Lord, today, as we give thanks for this 4 men and 2 women, Lord, we as your church, as your people, want to learn to also serve them, love them, and honor them. I pray, O God, that your anointing will be upon them, that they will truly be used by you in a powerful and a mighty way to serve your church, O Lord, and they will find much joy, much fulfillment in doing so. So we commend them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. And to the deacons, may you serve well and thereby gain a good standing for yourself and have a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Okay? You may please be seated first. Now I want to talk to the church family. I hope you will not say, "Wow, what a great relief." I am relieved of the responsibility of serving. I ask that you also recognize that if you follow Jesus, you're also called to be a servant. that just as they have been specially called and commissioned to be deacons, to serve the body of Christ, you too also have the responsibility to serve one another out of love. I pray that you will not have the expectation to be served by these six people. And I want you to know that, and please remember, they are not running a help desk, okay? They are not running a service department. Neither are they running a complaints department, okay? And I ask that you love them. Love them. Honor them. Pray for them. And when they call you to be part of the team to serve, I want you to say yes. Not maybe, not tomorrow, not next year, but I want you to say yes to them. Hebrews 13, verse 17. This is my charge to you. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. And will you say amen? Okay, so I'm going to ask the deacons to come again to the front, and we're going to be dismissed now. And I would like you, if you want to, just to please come up to them and just encourage them, say a word of encouragement for them, to them, and maybe even pray for them. Okay? So let me just pray in closing. I invite them to come to the front, and please come, affirm them and encourage them. Okay. Father, thank you for this very special moment. We recognize this as a very significant thing to have happened in the life of this church. I pray, O God, that truly we will become that body of Christ that truly, truly glorifies you, a body of Christ that is functioning healthily. And I pray, O God, that even as we have heard the charge from your word, that you help us not just to listen to your words, but to really have this commitment to want to obey them. So God, I pray that you will now dismiss us with your blessings. I pray that you will help us to remember that as we are sent out, we are sent forth as your witnesses, O Lord. So help us to be faithful to our calling to be your witnesses. Dismiss us now with your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're dismissed now. Please come and affirm your deacons here.